Our next session is a panel with some of the candidates in the forthcoming May election. We're delighted to have some of our candidates here to outline why they're standing for election and what motivates them. The chair will be our very own Chris Little MLA, who represents East Belfast. Please welcome Chris to the stage.
Thanks, Andrew, and good morning, conference. I'm delighted to be able to chair our panel this morning. I'm proud and I'm excited to introduce to you a few of the dedicated and talented Alliance Party candidates who will be standing for election to the Assembly in May. They all have a clear commitment to the people of Northern Ireland, and that is with your support, we will move our economy, our health service, our education system, and our society forward faster for you. Our vision is clear: a new, united, fair and prosperous Northern Ireland for all. And I suppose, to put it as personally as I can, my wife and I have two young children, and you may well see the two wee rascals scampering about here later on today. But we're like many families in Northern Ireland. We want the best for our children and for all our children in our community. We want to see access to quality childcare provision, nursery places, education. We want to see good careers, advice and guidance so that they can make informed decisions about what training pathways are best for them and how they can achieve their full potential and gain employment in our society. We want to see a business environment that supports our SMEs to create jobs, to export and to deliver higher wages with the right kind of jobs and international investment in our community. We want our children to have access to active travel, to clean environments and green spaces that they can enjoy. We want them to experience cultural expression that celebrates rather than demarcates. And we want our children to be able to grow up in a vibrant and welcoming society where we can reduce division and waste and reinvest in efficient public services to deliver better outcomes and social justice for all. Conference, I firmly believe that it is the Alliance Party that is working to deliver that united community and strong economy, world-class public services, and environment for us to enjoy. You will hear more detail about that today as we go throughout our panel. And I recognise that people in our community are frustrated, and they are, some of them, disengaged. We want better sooner too. We want better than get the ethnics out, bring the death penalties in, backroom deals and electoral pacts, inflammatory leaflets and angry speeches. We want better than hokey-cokey ministries and laws that allow us to discriminate when we're appointing our teachers. We want to see integrated education, mixed neighbourhoods and reconciliation, and we want to be responsible leaders. Conference, we are a community of world-class poets, playwrights, inventors, scientists, engineers, sportsmen and women, entrepreneurs, and we are a welcoming people. We need our political process to have the same purpose and ambition for our region. Our message is clear, Conference. Alliance will achieve better sooner for you. For example, in recent government reforms, it was the Alliance Party that proposed to move ahead with the reduction of MLAs in time for the upcoming election from 6 to 5 per constituency. That would have saved £2 million per year for you. That would have meant 75 police officers, 90 nurses, and indeed the entire childcare budget for a whole entire year. Conference, unfortunately, other parties decided to delay that step forward until 2021. But we will continue to stand up for what is right. Your votes in 2011 did give us a place at the Northern Ireland Executive. And as Minister for Employment and Learning, Stephen Farry, MLA, has delivered 40,000 young people into work, 4,000 jobs in the Assured Skills and Academies programmes, including a Harland and Wolff Welding Academy in my own constituency of East Belfast, 1,300 additional STEM places, and a new careers guidance system proposed, shared parental leave for mothers and fathers, and a community family support programme. He is also working with further education and higher education to take advantage of opportunities in key growth areas. Conference, our party leader, David Ford, MLA, was trusted to deliver the devolution of policing and justice and stabilise peace and democracy in Northern Ireland. I want to take this opportunity to thank David Ford for the courage and leadership that he has shown in this role. Conference, whilst there are a small number of people of violence who might seek to return us to the past, we will support our security services, our victims and survivors, and they will not succeed. Conference, we will work for a community relations strategy that will deliver a shared future and a comprehensive framework for dealing with the legacy of the past. I'm delighted that we're going to hear more from our talented candidates today as to how we will move us forward faster and build that shared future. And our first speaker to tell you more about that today is Alliance Party Assembly candidate for North Belfast, Councillor Nuala McAllister. Conference, for me, Nuala epitomises an Alliance Party moving forward faster for all. Elected as Belfast City Councillor to represent the people of North Belfast in May 2014, she is the first Alliance Councillor in her area in over 10 years. Nuala is a vocal advocate for a new, open, transparent and effective politics in Northern Ireland. She is an active campaigner on a wide range of issues for the people and businesses of North Belfast. She has special powers of persuasion to mobilise armies of volunteers to deliver thousands of leaflets in a space of days, and she has already been compared to another of our formidable politicians that you may be familiar with by the name of Naomi Long. This May, she will be offering a new alternative for Northern Ireland. Please give a warm welcome to Alliance Party Assembly candidate for North Belfast, Councillor Nuala McAllister.
Thank you, Chris. I could get used to this. I enjoy speaking at party conference. You know, it's my third year, well, for one of us, it's a first time here, and they'll enjoy it too. But welcome, everyone. I hope you're enjoying your morning so far. It's great to be part of such a big team of young, older, middle-aged, energetic people that are willing to move forward faster to build that better Northern Ireland. Firstly, let me begin by looking back to 2003. When Naomi was elected to Belfast City Council, and in just 2 short years, she made such an impact that she was then elected to the Northern Ireland Assembly. Naomi offered a new alternative to politics for East Belfast. I was elected to council just 2 years ago, and I have been offering a new alternative to North Belfast that was missing for years. A new alternative to the slow, stagnant pace of change in my part of the city. Conference, I believe it is now time for an Alliance MLA in North Belfast. Looking back even further, I was just 10 when the Good Friday Agreement was signed. I was too young to understand the significance and the complexities of that agreement, and it was too young to know just exactly where we were going in Northern Ireland and where we had come from. So it's a bit unfortunate that yet 18 years later, we are still talking about the kind of Northern Ireland that we want, the kind of shared society, a shared future rather than a shared now. Why has it taken so long? Fewer constituencies have suffered from the slow pace of change, quite like North Belfast. Between 1998 and 2010, more peace walls were erected by the NIO, perpetuating the very division we are committed to ending. Then there's the economic and social division that blights our neighbourhoods, often resulting in some of our very best young people looking for better opportunities elsewhere in the world. And this is almost 20 years after the Good Friday Agreement. The people of North Belfast, they are more than ready for a truly shared city. Just over a week ago, I was chatting to residents in Ardoyne who were watching a peace wall that was being taken down on the Crumlin Road. I was talking to a number of people when an older lady walked past and she muttered to all of us, she said, "I've been saying this for years, that should have been down long ago." And you know, she knows what we all know too, that walls don't create safety and security. Integration, community cohesion, and respect for the rule of law create a lasting stability. Just 2 days ago, I was at Hazelwood Integrated Primary School for Integrated Education Week, a school that has almost 500 pupils, and like most integrated schools, is oversubscribed. And I think that speaks for itself, a thriving success demonstrating the parents in North Belfast want their children to be integrated and learn the value of integration from the age of four. Yet, this concept is still too difficult for many of Northern Ireland's politicians. Talk about slow learners. And why is the pace of change so slow? Who's supposed to be in charge of change in North Belfast? Let's take a look. Let's take a look at the DUP, who've held the Department of Social Development now for this entire mandate. One of their ministers, a North Belfast MLA. Yet housing in North Belfast is crumbling and as segregated as ever. Sinn Féin, who believed last year they could take the Westminster seat because there are more Catholics in North Belfast, because of course all Catholics must vote for nationalist parties. And the SDLP, who have no shame in going against promises made to vulnerable women. The same SDLP who claim to support equality, but veto fair employment for teachers. And then there's the UUP. The UUP who cares so much about North Belfast, they didn't even bother standing last year. Won't stand for elections, but happy to stand at Twaddell. Yeah. Twaddell, we all know what it is. It's an unlawful camp where policing costs are still over £300,000 a month. That's £20 million so far. It's an obscene amount of money. Do you know what else we could spend that money on? On health, on employment, on community safety, on housing. Let me remind members, I'm very proud to say it was an Alliance minister who was committed to action on dismantling so-called peace walls. Lip service was not good enough. That is why I was proud when it was an Alliance minister, our party leader, who opened the gates in Alexandra Park, bringing together a community that had been physically divided for years. It was also an Alliance minister who relocated the university to help regenerate an area of North Belfast that has otherwise seen chronic underinvestment. An Alliance minister who argued against the absurdity of two separate job offices in North Belfast. One of them on a site that is perfect for social housing. The strongest voices for change in North Belfast at the Assembly have come from South Antrim and North Down. So, Conference, it really is the time for Alliance to have a strong voice in North Belfast at the Assembly. Our Alliance ministers have illustrated how they can stick their neck out and challenge the big two parties. Whether it's on policing matters, peace walls, teacher training, are investing on our young people, Alliance is up to the challenge. And you all know me here. You all know how capable and willing I am of a challenge. And I believe it is only by challenging the pace of change that we can take our society forward, faster, together. North Belfast needs Alliance, and people are recognising that. Our vote growth has quickly grown, and the past 2 years shows us gaining solid ground. People want an Assembly representative with the commitment to challenge the status quo. A representative in the Assembly that will work for everyone, whilst not being afraid to challenge the negative attitudes that hold our city back. Conference, I'm not talking today about us winning in North Belfast. I'm talking about how essential it is for North Belfast to win, and let's do that with an Alliance MLA. Let me offer a new alternative, a new hope, a new North Belfast. Thank you.
Councillor Dylan McAllister. Okay, conference, next up is a man who will be running with Councillor Paula Bradshaw as our two Alliance Party Assembly candidates for South Belfast, Dr. Duncan Morrow. The expertise of this intelligent, straight-talking community relations activist and university professor has been sought by governments world over. As CEO of the Community Relations Council, Duncan championed equality, diversity, and interdependence as being central to social and economic success for everyone in Northern Ireland. He has developed policy and programmes for interface and intercommunity regeneration and was appointed chairman of the Scottish Government Ministerial Advisory Committee on Tackling Sectarianism. He is an inspiration to me, and he's exactly the type of MLA I believe that our society needs to move forward faster. Please give a warm welcome to Alliance Party Assembly candidate for South Belfast, Duncan Morrow.
Good morning. Thank you very much, Chris. The problem with those kind of introductions is two sins are committed. He lies and I love it. Unbelievably, it's 18 years since the Good Friday Agreement. 18 years ago, we voted for, and I quote, a fresh start in which we firmly dedicate ourselves to the achievement of reconciliation, tolerance, and mutual trust, and to the protection and vindication of the human rights of all. All parties, would you believe, committed to strive in every practical way towards reconciliation and rapprochement, and agreed that the border should stay for now, because that's what consent means, that we could be British, Irish, or both, as we may choose, and that all politics would be carried out by purely political means. We thought, we, the people of Northern Ireland, we thought we had a deal. We had a fresh start 18 years ago. Yet after 18 years, the DUP and Sinn Féin have led us into yet more stop and a very stale start. The average life sentence in England and Wales is 15 years. It takes 18 years from being born to leaving school. 18 years is 4.5 times longer than World War I and 3 times longer than World War II. In 1997, Princess Diana had not yet been killed in the car crash. There was no iPhone, there was no Google. I was only just middle-aged. This autumn, another fresh start. Yet, no reforms of petitions of concern or pledges of office to break the gridlock. Less in the past than was there before. Recycling on parades and flags, and a poison chalice commission bringing forward proposals to end paramilitarism. Instead of responsible, difficult decisions, we have carve up and put off and no change. Instead of reconciliation, we have more talks. What about untouchable paramilitaries? Recrimination, not responsibility for the killing and the pain. Not even talking about flags and grandstanding over parades. And anyway, we don't need a fresh start. After 18 years, we need arrivals, not departures. We need endings, not beginnings. And we need action in months, not delay for years. All parties have slogans, but never has a slogan of a party made more sense to everybody that I speak to on the street, in the university, in coffee shops. Forward, faster, please. It is tempting to give up. It's tempting to pretend that by stopping voting, it'll all go away. Tempting, but totally wrong-headed. Stephen Farry's work on Skills for All, struggling to get people to agree to train teachers together, battling for a world-class university system, is absolutely vital for our future. Without David Ford in the Justice Department, the law itself would be at risk of the stench of corruption that now surrounds the DUP and Sinn Féin, or at risk of favouring us over them while run by their proxies in the Ulster Unionists and the SDLP. What we need is more alliance. I joined the Alliance Party because it has always stood without fear or favour for the rule of law and against the use of violence in politics. The ruthless killings of Jock Davison and Kevin McGuigan in cold blood were appalling. And they told us what we knew. Paramilitary culture remains alive and well in Northern Ireland. And we can't go through this conference without sending our thoughts and prayers to the prison officer and his family who were so appallingly attacked yesterday. We know your game. Start it off, get a reaction, go back. And we're not playing. But they haven't gone away, you know. That's the tragedy. Paramilitarism, distant violence, revenge attacks simply have no place in a democracy. In theory, nobody disputes that. So why is it so hard to take action to put an end to this terrible cultural tradition? Displays at bonfires, refreshed murals, intimidating graffiti, and parades honouring murders are only the start. Between 1990 and 2014, there were 6,000 paramilitary-style attacks in Northern Ireland, 500 since 2010. Out of 405 incidents of expulsion from housing in Northern Ireland in 2014-15, 312 out of 405 were put down directly to paramilitary activity. That's 77% of the people expelled from their own home due to paramilitary intimidation. And isolated families and people chosen for their nationality, colour or sexuality continue to know fear. Oh, and then there's the cash and cheques found in black plastic bags hidden in hay bales totalling €256,245 and £111,185 according to evidence at the Special Criminal Court. After 22 years, we cannot continue with a culture of blind eyes, payoff and violence. Through selective nods and winks, riots, threat and intimidation is still being given the cover of politics. This is evidence of things not resolved and promises not kept, which would shame a banana republic. It's time to move forward urgently. What Alliance demands is that the change we were promised over the long term is no longer put on the long finger. 18 years is the long term. Alliance supports celebration and cultural diversity, but not claiming territory without regard for others. Alliance is consulting on action to regulate the flying of flags. Alliance wants a system to ensure that funding for community development benefits the whole community and not just small groups. Alliance believes murals celebrating violence and paramilitarism have no place in a peaceful shared society. Alliance believes it is time to guarantee that every neighbourhood is safe for everyone and never controlled by armed groups. And it is time to break up the financial empires which keep all of this on the boil. The only way forward is to demand change, to demand urgency, and to vote for it. The people had a deal 18 years ago. We need leadership who actually believes in it. And the only party that puts moving forward faster for reconciliation, tolerance, and the human rights for everyone first is the Alliance Party. The only party with a vision of the truly common good is Alliance. And only Alliance can take us forward faster together. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Duncan. It's now a real pleasure for me to introduce my friend and Alliance Party Assembly candidate for the beautiful constituency of Strangford, Alliance Ards and North Down councillor Kelly Armstrong. Kelly is well known to the people of Strangford, having run Peninsula Community Transport before becoming the Northern Ireland Director of national charity, the Community Transport Association. Kelly is an active campaigner for integrated education, special educational needs, active ageing and disability rights. She is easily one of the most compassionate and effective local elected representatives we have. Please welcome your Alliance Party Assembly candidate for Strangford, Councillor Kelly Armstrong.
Good morning, conference. My name is Kelly Armstrong, and quite simply, I will be your next Alliance MLA for Strangford. Conference, as a successful businesswoman with years of experience, I know that in order to be successful, you need to provide a product or concept that people will buy into. I believe now, more than ever, the Alliance message of a united community is what people want. I also know that people buy people. Following the Westminster election, I asked my constituents, how could I improve my campaign? And constituents said very clearly that they wanted to know more about me, who I am and what my skills are and what I was going to deliver. So I thought I would share with you a bit more about me. Who is this woman in front of you? To satisfy the Edwin Putz type of politicians, I am a mum, I am a wife, I am a daughter, I am a sister, and I am an aunt. But I'm more complex than that. I'm also a qualified Byzantine historian. Have you ever heard that one? And I am absolutely delighted to have the fourth generation of camogie players in my family. I have run rural and urban transport charities, and for almost 10 years, as Chris has said, I have been the director for Northern Ireland of the UK charity, the Community Transport Association. Yes, I am a leader in the transport field, a woman in the transport field in Northern Ireland. I provide legal and technical advice to transport operators and government on local, national and European transport legislation. I know transport is very boring, so I'll not stick with that, but it highlights something about this Alliance team that is particularly important. So I think it's worth looking at a recent example of good practice. Last year, the Canadian Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau, and I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, chose his cabinet. And when he did, he picked people appropriate for their role who had the right skills and experience. For example, his cabinet comprised of a GP as a health minister, a Paralympian as the Minister for Sports and Persons with Disabilities, and so on. And I look at the Alliance team of candidates before you. What a team. What a calibre. In no particular order, we have two ministers, a former head of the Community Relations Council, a former MP and engineer, a community sector leaders, and I might add my own name to that list as having more than a little knowledge and experience in the world of transport. If elections were conducted in the same way as job interviews, then before you are some of the candidates who would get the job of MLAs, because we have the skills and experience to do the job. You would employ us not because we simply stand for green or orange politics. You would employ us because we have, or we will have, moved Northern Ireland forward, faster, and reached better sooner. For example, back as far as 2010, I proposed a new way of working to DRD to create a more effective and efficient use of transport resources, but using taxpayers' money. That's your money. My proposal was for education, health and DRD to share vehicles and drivers for a new cooperative transport approach. By making better use of education and health's fleet of vehicles, all publicly owned vehicles, we could link more people to the public transport network and enable more people to leave their cars at home, reducing the number of cars on our roads, emissions and congestion. The new cooperative system would have provided better access options for older people and people with disabilities, and the outcome would have realised up to a £20 million a year annual saving. I'm delighted to say that for the last 2 years, this wee woman's voice was heard, and DRD have been working to realise that proposal, only they call it the Integrated Transport Strategy. In our manifesto, Alliance confirms we will channel public investment towards public rather than private transport, and this will include a rebalancing of the way departmental money is allocated. And I'll draw to your attention, the education fleet of yellow buses is bigger than the whole of TransLink. Why are we not using those buses? Why are they sitting all weekend and evenings and all during the school holidays doing nothing but costing us money? Our manifesto confirms we will institute new rules on integrated transport and ensure access to sustainable transport is considered in major planning decisions. But that's not all what I'm about, and as Chris has alluded to, my passion is supporting people with disabilities. Like my predecessor, Kieran McCarthy, I'm committed to ensuring people with disabilities and their carers receive appropriate care, support and assistance. In recent weeks, 8,271 people signed my petition calling on both the Health and Education Ministers to provide better care and support for people with autism. In an unprecedented move, the DUP Minister announced on a Sunday additional funding of £2 million per year to help reduce autism waiting times on a Sunday, the day before the petition was due to be formally submitted. Conference, I'll let you decide if the announcement was a pre-election stunt by a minister who had ignored the Autism Act, who had been caught out. It sounds like a lot of money, but in actual fact, £2 million is a drop in the ocean, a sticking plaster rather than a strategic investment. Incredibly, the Sinn Féin Minister for Education completely ignored the petition and all 8,271 signatories. He has been ignoring parents of children with special education needs throughout his whole Assembly term. Many teachers and parents have contacted me, frustrated and angry that children with special education needs are being failed through a lack of appropriate care plan, training for teachers and investment in school support. Only yesterday, Chris and I were made aware of another cut in special education hours, and there's a systematic failure in the system with the minister who keeps ignoring children's needs. And we all know how much he's failing on integrated education. In our manifesto, we will support people with disabilities by abolishing the bedroom tax, which has a disproportionate impact on people with disabilities. Reform welfare assessments so that people with lifelong conditions do not need regular reassessment. I have many more issues that I would like to see addressed in my first term as an MLA, and that includes better care and support for women following miscarriage, use the active ageing strategy as the basis of our provision of services for older people. The current strategy is imperfect, and I cannot wait to develop it further when I'm in the Assembly. We all want to see this country work, to ensure the right services are in place to support our society. We are the team that have the skills and experience to do the job. Alliance MLAs are not distracted by sectarian point scoring. We will concentrate not on division, but on making a society better for everyone. Our team is focused on building a united community where people have the services they need, are treated with respect, and equality and good relations are the norm. Those who are against a united community currently prosper on division and segregation. Their silo mentality, where departments don't work together to enable the types of savings I mentioned earlier, is hurting Northern Ireland. We are the better alternative. We are the future. We are Alliance.
Thank you, Kelly. Okay, conference, the next speaker is a particular treat for me, and I'm particularly biased for obvious reasons. But it's not often that I get to introduce you to a bona fide agricultural entrepreneur. Our next speaker, Castlereagh Councillor Tim Morrow, however, is not only a farmer, but a businessman, a community activist, and I'm proud to say, a fellow Alliance Party Assembly candidate for East Belfast. In addition to providing agricultural enterprise and employment at Streamvale Open Farm, Tim has served the people of East Belfast as a Castlereagh councillor since 2005. He is a member of Ballybean Improvement Group, including the Education and Employment Committee, Tullycarnet Community Support Services, and is chair of the exciting project Inspire Business Park in Dundonald. Please give a warm welcome to Alliance Party Assembly candidate for East Belfast, Councillor Tim Morrow.
Good morning, conference, and I have to say welcome to the heart of Lisburn and Castlereagh City Council area. That's more than it deserves. And you're also, of course, just a couple of miles from East Belfast here. East Belfast, land of milk and honey. I represent the milk. Naomi represents the honey. We're still making our minds up as to what food group Chris represents. We'll let you know on that one. I want to thank Chris for his introduction, and he did whisper to me there just on the way up that because I'm speaking on the most important issue, agriculture, that he was going to give me more time. I don't think I'll be able to fill the 45 minutes, but I'll do my best. My family have been farming at Streamvale since the 1730s, and so I have been steeped in agriculture all of my life. And I suppose because of that, I am absolutely passionate about farming, passionate about the countryside, and also passionate about everything that lives and grows there. And there's two things that I want to talk about today because I don't have time to do the whole thing. The first is regarding a food which is seen all around us every day, but we take for granted. Few countries can grow this like we can, and it is the biggest carbon soak on the planet, sucking in carbon dioxide and breathing out oxygen for us all to live on. I'm talking, of course, about grass. In my opinion, the powers that be in the Department of Agriculture and the advisory services have been sowing the wrong seeds for the last 20 years. And they've been shifting their emphasis towards indoor housing systems for livestock instead of outdoor grass-based systems. And this has resulted in massive amounts of money being invested in buildings and in machinery, which also results then in huge debts incurred by farmers. Now, we all need to understand the basics here, and I'm going to keep this as simple as I can. First of all, if we are in a global market and 85% of the farming produce in Northern Ireland ends up being exported. So if we're in a global market, then the prices for those commodities is going to fluctuate upwards and downwards. Secondly, to compete in that market successfully, there has to be a focus on low-cost systems of farming, which are by far the best indicator of profit. Thirdly, low cost is only achieved by focusing on using your natural resources. And in this country, it is grass. And overwhelming research in New Zealand and Ireland supports this. So in other words, ladies and gentlemen, the more grass contained in an animal's diet, the cheaper it is to produce that food. And by the way, the better it is for our planet as well, because you're not importing expensive grain from Russia or the States. Now, I know there's a lot of farmers in big financial trouble at the moment who were encouraged by poor advice and unscrupulous lending institutions to borrow more and more money to invest in buildings and machinery. And now many of those good farmers and food producers are on the brink of bankruptcy. I heard yesterday from someone who works in a bank that he was at a farm in Mid-Antrim, and the name shall remain nameless, but that farmer had done a forward plan budget for his year ahead, and the projected income for that year was minus £150,000. This guy is hugely in debt as it is. So what chances are for people to get out of this unless we stand with these people and encourage the banks to do the same? So how important is this agri-food industry that I am in? Let me give you a few statistics, and I'll not bore you too long. The Northern Ireland food and drink sector is the largest contributor to sales, exports, and employment in the Northern Ireland manufacturing sector. It supports 1 in 6 of all private sector jobs. And most of those jobs, ladies and gentlemen, are outside the Greater Belfast area. 100,000 of these jobs generating £2 billion in wages, £4.5 billion turnover, of which £3.5 billion end up being exported. So, ladies and gentlemen, what is the biggest threat to this industry that I'm so fond of? There's one word, ladies and gentlemen, one scary word that people need to wake up to. Brexit. In my opinion, Brexit would be a complete disaster for agriculture. A neighbour said to me last night that without a single farm payment, he would have to stop farming on a farm that he and his family have been on for generations. Is anyone here delusional enough to think that the Tory government will suddenly prop up farming? To think that it will keep agriculture high on its priority list of spending? Not only would Brexit affect producers, of course, but it would also affect you, the consumers, as the cost of production would have to be passed on. And there's this nonsense being talked about that we will get rid of all this red tape. If we want to trade in Europe, then we have to have the same rules and regulations that are in Europe. So it would get rid of no red tape whatsoever. And what's more, we would have to pay a tariff to get into that market. So it's total nonsense. So ladies and gentlemen, don't be fooled. Brexit would be a disaster for us all. And the DUP, who claim to be the farmer's friend, and the Party for Business have got it completely wrong, and we need to absolutely nail them on it. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. The next time you see me, I'll be Minister of Agriculture.
Good to see we have highly vocal men as well as highly vocal women in this party. Okay, conference, our next speaker moves us from the heart of East Belfast to the East Antrim coast for our final speaker and chief whip of the Alliance Party. My friend and colleague, Stuart Dixon, served Carrickfergus as councillor for over 30 years and was elected to serve the people of East Antrim as MLA in 2011. He will be campaigning to renew his mandate with fellow Alliance candidate Danny Donnelly in May. Stuart is a member of the Assembly's Justice Committee, where he has worked for a faster, fairer justice system for all, and he is a member of the Social Development Committee, where he is working to tackle poverty and promote social justice for families in our community. Stuart is a passionate advocate for our NHS and the Alliance vision for health and social care, which he will be speaking about today. Please give a warm welcome to Alliance Party Assembly candidate for East Antrim and Chief Whip, Stuart Dixon, MLA.
Conference, thank you for the welcome, and thank you to all my colleagues who have inspired not only you, but have particularly inspired me this morning for what we're going to do and say. As Chris has pointed out, the last 5 years in the Assembly, except for a brief time in regional development, I have spent my time both supporting the Justice Minister and our leader, David Ford, or I've spent many, many hours listening to the inquiry in respect of Red Sky. One has been a very positive experience, and the other has been an absolutely mind-blowingly difficult experience. Tremendous to support David Ford in the justice portfolio, to correct other members of the Justice Committee when they think that David isn't getting things right, because he's always getting things right in justice. He's done an amazing job in justice. We have a Despite all the press that you have read, we have a substantially better prison service delivering for people, some of the most vulnerable people in our society. We do have a faster and a fairer justice system. I met with the Lord Chief Justice and other judges earlier this week, and while I'm clearly not going to comment on their views on David Ford, I can tell you he's very well respected in all the work that he has been doing. We should perhaps draw a veil over social development because, as I said, we spent a great deal of time dealing with the mess and indeed the corruption of other parties in this society. And we've spent less time perhaps doing the things that we should have been doing, which was dealing with welfare reform, dealing with housing and various other issues. But I need to move on. I've been asked this morning to speak to you about where we will be in the next mandate when it comes to our health service. And at this stage, I want to pay tribute to the work that my retiring colleague, Kieran McCarthy, has done taking that portfolio in the Assembly. An amazing job, a powerful advocate for a wide range of concerns within health. If we think back to the creation of the health service as we know it today, many people will actually credit the Labour Party with the creation of that National Health Service. But it was actually a Liberal, Sir William Beveridge, who drew the roadmap for its institution. 1942, the Social Insurance and Allied Services Report, the Beveridge Report, sought to slay the five social evils that preyed on the population of the United Kingdom: want, idleness, ignorance, squalor, and of course disease. Beveridge envisioned the setting up of a comprehensive service available to every citizen, covering all treatments and every form of disability. And since 1948, that has been a reality. And I am proud to say that we live in a country where healthcare is a right, not a privilege, and it's provided on the basis of need, not our ability to pay. However imperfect we may think our health service is, it does deliver for our citizens in exactly the way it was envisioned in 1948. But Northern Ireland's health service, through years of mismanagement, political inaction, has suffered considerably. In the past year, waiting lists have grown exponentially to the point where, despite a target of 9 weeks for waiting, more than 50% of people are waiting longer than 18 weeks for their first outpatient appointment. In fact, there are stories of people waiting considerably longer and upwards of a year. At the same time, DUP ministers, Poots, Wells, Hamilton, are too busy playing politics and not delivering the quality of healthcare that each person and every citizen in Northern Ireland deserves. They have refused to solve the crisis. They have refused to listen to the advice of their experts and their clinicians. And they have refused to tackle the need for serious reform in healthcare in Northern Ireland. Our population is ageing, and the concept of moving care into the community generally makes sense. But the resources must also move with that to support carers and appropriate housing for the elderly. Serious questions have to be asked about the quality of some care. Furthermore, citizens in Northern Ireland also deserve the same access to drugs and treatments as anyone else in the United Kingdom. This must be the case in such vital areas as cancer treatment. Further to this are the needs for a much greater focus on mental health services, for which for far too long have been the neglected Cinderella of our health system. Somehow, they have not been able to get the priority that is desperately needed, despite serious levels of mental ill health as a result of our troubles. However, what is even more distressing is that more people have died through suicide. More people have died through suicide since the Good Friday Agreement than died as a result of the violence during our troubles. Being able to access comprehensive and well-funded support is vital to address this. As with other services, waiting lists are shockingly long and coverage is patchy. Of course, with all of this, it costs money. But if we look at the deplorable waste in other departments, the fact that we're spending hundreds of millions of pounds a year on division, our empty classrooms, I am convinced that the funding that we need is there if we work smarter and we work faster to deliver a better healthcare system for everyone. We must seriously resist proposals on drifting towards upfront charging in the healthcare system. It must remain free at the point of use, ensuring that there is no element of cost discrimination in our health system. Ultimately, the health service is massively efficient compared to other systems that may get use more money in other ways or comparatively less money. I would like to turn briefly to the situation in my own constituency in East Antrim, where we have had major incidents in a number of nursing homes, some of which have been highly publicised. And I regret to say that to this day, I do not believe the regulator responsible, the RQIA, responsible for care and safety of clients, has either used their powers effectively or properly in defending some of the most vulnerable people who are in the care of nursing homes. However, I am delighted to say that following the actions that I and my staff, and I have to pay tribute to people who have worked with me on this issue, and the whistleblowers and the people out there whose family relatives have been in nursing homes, not just in East Antrim, but in other parts of Northern Ireland as well, to say that there is now a review of RQIA underway and the role that they perform and the inspection regime which they will take forward in the future. And I would like to think that I and those people who have been affected by the situation in nursing homes have had an influence on this review of the work of RQIA. The change of health ministers coupled with the DUP's in-out policies have put people at risk. I met Minister Wales on the issue of nursing homes as he was leaving office. He never gave me the answers to the questions, and more importantly, the clients that I brought with me, he didn't give them the answers that they were seeking. We are still seeking a meeting with his successor, Minister Hamilton, who was more interested in being in and out than actually being in and doing the job. As an Alliance Party candidate, I am calling on Conference to help us defend the ideas of Beveridge, in the spirit of 1945. If the money could be found then, despite austerity, then surely we must be able to do the same and a great deal better today. I have nothing but admiration for and I applaud our health service, which has achieved for our citizens, and I pledge to defend its core ideals, being free at the point of delivery and available to everyone entitled to its services. Can I finally and very briefly turn to another area of policy that I have been involved in, and that is in respect of social enterprise and social housing, much of which is also linked to our healthcare system. I've had the privilege of being the chair of the All-Party Committee on Social Enterprise and, as I said, a member of the Social Development Committee. I value the work that is done by our housing associations, but there are many challenges, and others have made reference to this, to delivering housing in very wide parts of our community and our society, whether it's in North Belfast or in rural parts of East Antrim. But there is one thing that I think we need to tackle when it comes to the delivery of housing, and that is how we deliver shared spaces and how we move from segregated housing to integrating our housing system. That's a challenge. That is a challenge that faces us. I am a passionate supporter of the Housing Executive and all that they have done, but I think the time has now come for us to take a step back and take a radical view as to how we actually build for a future that will deliver genuinely integrated community housing where people want to live and share, not on the basis of their religion, their political beliefs, or the colour of their skin, but on their need to be able to have high quality housing which will deliver for them and allow them transportation and all the modern means of communication and a meaningful job to do. If returned to the Assembly, I certainly pledge to continue to support our national health system and also pledge to deliver better and fairer and more integrated housing than we have had heretofore. Like my colleagues on the platform, I will be working very hard over the next few weeks, as I have hopefully been doing on behalf of all of my constituents over the last 5 years, to deliver the Alliance Party message and the Alliance Party vision faster and forward together. Thank you.
Thank you to all our candidates stepping forward today, Conference. I hope you agree with me that all our Alliance candidates that you've heard from have inspired you, that we are serious about our commitment to step forward and to deliver better for Northern Ireland, for faster and forward. Okay, Conference, we're now moving on. I would like to very briefly, if I have time, and Sharon can keep me right on this, to pay tribute to a few of our outgoing MLAs who have blazed the trail for many Alliance representatives. Firstly, Kieran McCarthy, MLA. It has been a privilege to work with you, Kieran.
You sure?
Absolutely.
You sure?
Yes.
You sure? You
sure? Kieran, you're a gentleman and you have been a dedicated representative for the people of Strangford. You're well known for your ability to mention the Ards Peninsula in practically every ministerial question that you ask. But most importantly, you've been a champion for people in our community who are in special need of access to health and social care. It was a privilege to serve with you on the Assembly Working Group on Autism and Learning Disability, and I'm delighted that one of your last actions as an MLA was to present that petition in partnership with Strangford Alliance Assembly candidate Kelly Armstrong. Second, Secondly, Alliance MLA for South Belfast, Anna Lowe. Anna, you are without doubt one of the most courageous and determined elected representatives in our community. You're also possibly the only MLA I know with enough style to get away with wearing a black leather jacket in the Northern Ireland Assembly Chamber. As Chair of the Environment Committee, you championed an independent environment protection agency, climate change legislation, and you established the inaugural Environment Week. As Chair of the Assembly Group on Human Trafficking, you mobilised this community to take action on modern-day slavery. You challenged OFM-DFM on racial equality and refugee integration, and your courageous and dignified stance against racism has earned you the respect and gratitude of our entire community. You are a champion for inclusion and you are an inspiration to us all. Conference, last but certainly not least, my constituency colleague Judith Cochran, MLA. Truth be told, she told me to tell you that she was the best East Belfast Alliance MLA. She really believes that as well. Judith, I know that you decided some time ago to explore new challenges outside of politics, and that you still contend that you're not political. But as an MLA, you have delivered real, meaningful outcomes on a wide range of issues for people, schools, community groups and businesses across East Belfast. You have campaigned effectively for capital investment and increased places for nursery and primary schools in our constituency. And as founding chair of the Assembly Group on SMEs, you have worked to help businesses overcome barriers to grow and create jobs for our economy. You're scheduled to pass private members' legislation that will deliver more modern licensing and hospitality in our regional stadia to support the growth of sport across Northern Ireland and to help our successful bid to host international competitions such as the Rugby World Cup in 2023. You and your staff were a key part of our team that helped to elect our deputy leader and friend, Naomi Long, as the first Alliance MP. You and I, as two United Community MLAs for East Belfast, and I would like to thank you and wish you every success for the future. Thank you. And now, hand over to our President, Councillor Andrew Muir. Thank you, Conference.
As one of Stephen's colleagues in North Down, I know at first hand just what he's achieved as Minister and how much of an impact he's had upon economic development in Northern Ireland. In order to tell us a bit more about Stephen's achievements as Minister for Employment and Learning, I'm delighted to welcome Dr. Stephen Farry, MLA.